Well, it's a tough day. It's going to be a tough week for America because we haven't gone through something like this before, but it just gets worse and worse and sadder to watch what's going on with our president, Joe Biden. Front page of the New York Post has the headline, "Time to Go, Joe," and it has somebody pushing the president in a wheelchair off a cliff. You know, there's one thing of having opinions, but there's also the thing of going just too doggone far. This is not a joke, what's going on right now. This is a very big deal in our country. Now, we are very concerned about another very big deal that's going on, not just in our country, but in our city. And that is, here we have these parties, these block parties, and I think Mayor Mike Duggan has just come out with a press briefing today saying the city had 27 shooting victims from what are called six illegal block parties during the first week of July, including the two killed and 19 wounded early Sunday, creating, quote, a level of violence that we rarely see anymore in Detroit. There's the headline of the Detroit News, two slain, 19 hurt in Detroit shooting. And you bet our Detroit City Council President, Mary Sheffield, wants to talk about that, along with Scott Benson, Detroit City Councilman of District 3. That is, I believe, where one of these parties took place. Let me start first with the Council President. Madam President Sheffield, thank you for coming on the Paul W. Smith Show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me, as always.
And I want to thank Scott Benson, Councilman for District 3. Thank you, Councilman Benson.
Paul W., thank you for extending the invitation.
Well, we're happy to have you here at a pretty unhappy time. Madam President, kind of give me your feelings without me asking any questions whatsoever about this problem that we now have in Detroit that we haven't had before.
Yeah, I think we all were devastated. I mean, it's a tragedy to see that amount of young people that were harmed at a neighborhood block party right here in the city of Detroit. And primarily, these were young people under the age of 30 and primarily women that were shot and injured. And so I think we are all devastated and trying to figure out the best way to respond, whether it be from the law enforcement standpoint. I know today at the press conference, they talked about to prioritizing these block club party calls to priority one calls now. So taking a greater focus on really prioritizing more officers patrolling our neighborhoods and patrolling the onset of these large gatherings that are not going through the normal process of permitting for those type of large scale events within our community. So I think that's very important. And being very clear as well that we want to have right barbecues and gatherings in our community because that is a part of who we are at Detroit. And that's fine. But when you start to have 200, 300, 400 people gathering without neighborhood approval, without going through the permitting process, and then coming with wrong intentions, bringing guns right to these block parties, we know that we as a city have to begin to crack down and to let the young people in residents know that this is not what we are accepting. And so I, of course, was devastated and looking at ways that we as a community can better respond to this. We know that the police department cannot do it on its own. It's going to really be a collaborative effort, more radio patrols, more community organizations coming together to address this issue of violence within our communities. And so we also know that CBI is being implemented in that area, Wayne Metro. And so I'm looking forward to having conversations with them, too. I know Member Benson is actively involved with them as well, too, to figure out what other resources we can flood this community and better educate also our residents on how to have proper gatherings within our community is essential. So we are all reacting, taking this in, and really figuring out what more we can do as leaders, as elected officials, as clergy, as Black Club members. All of us have to have a response on how we address this issue of violence within our communities, because it cannot continue to happen. We are all tired of having these press conferences, of having these vigils, and seeing this level of crime within our communities.
Mary Sheffield, Detroit City Council President, in your own words, it is an unspeakable tragedy. And yet another reminder that gun violence is an epidemic in Detroit and across the nation. I, you know, call me old-fashioned, but growing up in Monroe, we never had anything that would have been in any way called an illegal block party. Explain that to me, Councilman Scott Benson, because the mayor said we had 27 shooting victims from six illegal block parties. Back in Monroe, back in the day, a block party just kind of broke out if it happened. It was just a gathering, and obviously it was a lot different then. There were still guns back then, but people weren't shooting each other at a celebration.
And I want to say I concur with the president's statements and sentiments here. I mean, this is a tragedy. I was shaken. I live just two blocks north of Rossini, where this tragic incident took place. But you talk about illegal block parties, and within the city of Detroit, you're required to get approval to have a block party. And I've thrown many as a block captain, and you would go to the precinct, you would let them know you're going to have a block party. You'd ask them to cut off the street with a few sawhorses so that cars couldn't drive back and forth, but they knew there was a party going on. This party, and I have one of my community leaders who lives one block away from when this incident took place, and he was awakened from sleep with his family to gunshots, screams for help, and cars pulling off, shooting at each other. And so at 2:30 in the morning, that's no longer a legal block party, and you're not supposed to have loud noises or sounds past 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. in the city of Detroit. So we need to look at this for what it is. This is not about going out and having a good time, especially when your list of items to take are barbecue coals, it's your hat, your sunglasses, your car keys, cell phone, and a gun. We really need to take a look at that. And then you also talked about it. At the higher level, we really need to talk about access to guns in our relationship with firearms. And this is where we need to call on our state and federal legislators to finally do something. Access to guns is a problem within the United States. And this is just a result of how many people. They retrieved 9 guns during the investigation after the shooting at this scene. 9 weapons. I mean, at least 9 people.
And those are just the ones, and those were just the guns left behind.
Paul W., at least 9 people took handguns to this party. At least.
Yeah. Madam President, Mary Sheffield, I don't recall hearing of any problems at the Ford fireworks. Huge crowds. And I don't recall hearing of any other problems on the 4th of July, again, in areas where communities had their fireworks and there were large crowds of people. What's happening in our neighborhoods? I know this is a guess on your part, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think, first, the chief talked about this today, is that we have proven to be able to hold and to be able to properly monitor large crowds. We did it with the fireworks. We did it with the NFL draft and various concerts that come here. So we know how to handle and manage large crowds. The issue, I think, with neighborhoods is, number one, we do have to increase the amount of patrolling and eyes and ears monitoring incidents like this that are taking place within our neighborhoods. The chief mentioned today 80 additional officers now will be out in the neighborhood patrolling and not really trying to prevent, regular permitted properly gatherings within our community, but just really monitoring neighborhood situations that may take place to prevent situations like this from happening. So I think we have to continue to be the eyes and the ears. And if you see a gatherings of this scale taking place, someone, right, should be the eyes and ears to make a call that this should not be taking place in the community. And so I think we have to continue to step up and making sure that we have more officers patrolling our neighborhood. We have to better educate our neighborhood clubs and leaders within our communities how to properly permit and go through the process that Member Benson just mentioned on how to have these block club parties safely. And I think we'll be, trending, more so in the right incident. But we also do just have individuals, unfortunately, that are bad actors that don't want to do the right thing. And that is why we have to make sure that we're cracking down and making sure that we're properly have law enforcement in those situations as well.
I'm glad you point that out. You're not a snitch if you do something that's going to be better overall for the community. If you see something, say something, do something.
Yes.
And this is when somebody says, well, 80 officers, how can they cover the entire? Well, there are certain neighborhoods that I didn't even realize, like this neighborhood, this street, this neighborhood was in, quote, the red zone for years because it's been one of the city's deadliest. Who knew? So, it'll be a lot easier to put police there.
Can I just intercede on this one? So, I live in what some people like to call the red zone. We don't.
I never knew it was called the red zone.
Well, no, a lot of people who live in the city of Detroit do, as do I know it was called that. But we've been working hard with our CBI partners and with our community groups who are in this area to change that narrative around what goes on in the Regent Park and Mohegan Regent neighborhood. And today we're going to be having some meetings with our CBI, with our stakeholders in the area, with DPD to talk about solutions. And as the president alluded to earlier, we're talking how can our CB patrols play a role here? How can our community violence intervention program and those stakeholders play a greater role here? Because it's not going to be the police alone who are going to be able to solve
it. Can't
this.
It's be.
Going to
it
have
can't
to be,
be
the residents and our stakeholders to help bring an end to this. And I just also want to say, when we talk about block parties, there are thousands of block parties that are legally done by our residents that don't result in any type of harm. But when you have somebody throwing a block party that is impromptu at 2 a.m., you've got to understand there is most likely a certain level of lawlessness just because you're disturbing the peace at that time and you have no care about the residents who live in that area. And
you know what?
Those are the type of activities you're trying to crack down on.
I'm not making light of this. I'm remembering, because it bangs in my head, former Michigan coach Bo Schembechler, who said, nothing good ever happens after 11 o'clock. You remember that? I mean, he said that to his kids.
I do remember that. And I might try to push that timeline a bit to the right.
But yeah.
Around that time, you're right. The activities of positive engagement starts to go down quickly. It goes downhill quickly from there.
Scott Benson, Detroit City Councilman, District 3. If we can help in any way, please don't hesitate to let us know. And, of course, thank you to the Detroit City Council President, Mary Sheffield. Madam President, again, any way we can help you and your members of City Council, please don't hesitate to ask.
All right. Council President Paul W., thank you for the time.
All right. Thank you very much as we continue on WJR.